just easy. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at capitalone.com/autonavigator.
I'm 5'11".
Barely 5'4".
I weigh about 170 pounds.
Brown eyes.
Blue eyes.
Brown hair.
Gray hair.
I'm a baseball fanatic.
I'm a wife.
A mom.
A sister.
And a grandfather.
I'm a bodybuilder.
I'm a research analyst.
Small business owner.
Teacher.
Dance fitness instructor.
Film and television actor.
I'm an office clerk.
I'm a copywriter.
I'm a veteran.
I have a prosthetic leg.
I have multiple sclerosis.
I have lupus.
Cerebral palsy.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
I'm blind.
And I'm working in a job I love.
I love.
Because I was given a chance.
Because I was given a chance.
To contribute my skills and talents.
To show my disability is only one part of who I am.
Who I am.
Who I am.
At work, it's what people can do that matters.
For more information, visit whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
As a recipient of a prize from Coastal Broadcasting of La Rose, Incorporated, also known as KLRZ 100.3 FM ESPN New Orleans, you are responsible for applicable taxes and our licensing fees. You're not responsible if a prize is damaged or breaks, an event is canceled, or business closes. When mailing prizes, our station is not responsible for prizes that are damaged or lost. One winner per household for 30 days. Winner must have a picture ID and must pick up the prize within 30 days. You can pick up most prizes at our studio office, 11603 Highway 308, La Rose. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. Love to get your opinions on it. As ESPN this morning, all about Tom Brady. Greatest free agent signing of all time. I guess you just forget about what Drew Brees.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Party and partying. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
Indeed, looking forward to the weekend. Tiger fans, your LSU Fighting Tigers take on the Gators 11 a.m. 11.5-point underdogs going into that game. Nichols, the Colonel's got an early kickoff, taking on 18th-ranked Incarnate Word, 11 a.m. You can hear the game right here on ESPN New Orleans. Tulane off. Cajuns played back on Tuesday. Speaking of the Cajuns and Tulane, their head coaches, Billy Napier, the 67th highest-paid coach at $2 million. Willie Fritz, 68, at 1.9. I bring this up because Garland Gillen from Fox 8 brought up that USA Today article. They went down the list and put all of the coaching salaries in college football. No surprise, Alabama's Nick Saban, number one. Deservedly so, right? $9.7 million. By the way, his school buyout, if he decided to ever leave, $38 million. But how surprised and shocked are you to know that Ed Orgeron, head coach of your LSU Fighting Tigers, is number two. Second highest paid coach in all the land. School buyout, $17 million. $9 million. The exact number that they have from USA Today, $9 million. $12,917. This buyout, $17,150,000 is the buyout, if you want to piece out Ed O. He is the second highest paid coach in college football. David Shaw from Stanford is third, 8.9. Dabo Sweeney from Clemson, 8.3, is fourth. At fifth, Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma, 7.6. Dan Mullen from Florida, 7.5, is sixth. Jimbo Fisher for A&M, 7.5, is 7th. At 8, Kirby Smart, head coach of Georgia, 7.1. Ryan Day, Ohio State, 6.6. At 10 is Gary Patterson from TCU, 6.1. If You want to hear from some other ones. Steve Sarkisian, Texas, is 14th, 5.4. Trying to think some other ones. I brought up Lane Kiffin from Ole Miss, 4.8. Mike Leach makes a little bit more than him, 5 mil evenly at Mississippi State. Other coaches in the SEC. I have to kind of scroll a little bit. Luke Fickell, by the way, at Cincinnati. I know Matt touched on him and a couple of people about possibly trying to reach out to the head coach of the third-ranked Bearcats right now. He makes $3.4 million. Now his buyout, though, over there is $20. That's something you got to think about, too. Whoever it is that you want, you got to get him over there. And if that buyout is that high, that's a higher buyout at Cincinnati than it is for LSU to move on with Ed Ogeron at 17. Now, again, you wonder if that is an issue or not, but if you're paying 17 to one coach and then have to either pay full or half of that buyout at Cincinnati, that all of a sudden becomes a very expensive hire. Something to think about. 800-998-1003 if you want to chime into the conversation about that. If you want to chime into the conversation about what you heard yesterday from David Griffin on Zion and what will happen over the next couple of weeks.
I mean, throughout that process, we'll be heading towards that. And it may happen well before the 2.5 weeks that he does that. It's really just a function of how things progress.
So from now until that 2-week mark, I guess, what will he be allowed to do, you know, during practice, on court, whatever?
Right now, he's cleared to run and do one-on-none. And whatever they do next is just part of that process. But I don't have a set progression for you I can give you. So
was he able to do the one-on-none and the running today? Did he start that process today?
He was cleared last night for that. So.
And then towards the end of the hour, we were talking about Tom Brady and his time at Tampa has everybody at ESPN.
Tom Brady is the greatest free agent in football history. He's made the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, A, champion, B, a contender, C, a place everybody wants to go, D, a place where everyone is going to be elevated, meaning their coordinators are going to get coaching jobs, all that kind of stuff. The Bucs, they're like the sexy NFL franchise right now. They weren't that when they won the Super Bowl.
Would you say that's more than what Drew did? Because he kind of described the Saints, right? A lot of coaches have gone on and gotten jobs, assistants. A lot of players have come here to play with Drew, help Drew. Drew's changed the outlook of the franchise, and he got him for 15 years. Are you going Drew over Tom? Or Tom over Drew? Who's the greater free agent signing for that organization right now? I do think it'll be tough to argue if Tom and the Bucs win another Super Bowl back-to-back. That's going to be hard to argue. Drew only had one. Right now, they have the same. Now, it took Drew a couple years. Tom did it in his first year. Uptown Ruler, thanks for calling the show. What you got, sir?
Hey, man, the Bucs stinks. I can't stand the Bucs. You know something? They ought to burn the Bucs. The Saints ought to burn the Bucs on the field with a long pass. Mm-hmm. You know something? I think the Bucs are just like the Cowboys in my organization. They hate it. I can't stand them. And Tom Brady, I never did like him when he was with New England anyway.
No.
So we need to knock him out of the game when we play him on Halloween night. That will be his mask to get out of the game. Anyway, okay. I'm going to predict that score, and I'm going to predict the Saints score next week.
Next week, you're already predicting. Okay.
The Saints will win 33-17 coming off the bye week. And they'll beat Tampa Bay 28-17. And Tom Brady will go down. He will go down on the ground because he will eat grass.
Whoa, okay. All right, so you're going with a sack in two weeks and a win. Actually, 2 weeks, Seattle, you got to win. And in 3 weeks, Tom Brady's getting sacked and the Saints win as well. I love it, Uptown Ruler. Go enjoy a nice daiquiri, man. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the cool weather that's coming.
Thank you.
All right, my man. Take care. Uptown Ruler, 800-998-1003. Cajun Goat, thanks for chiming into the conversation, man. What you got today, bud?
Oh, man, look, a few things, Gus. I'm going to start with the Pelican.
Mm-hmm.
David Griffin just sold me a Ferrari, okay? But the problem is, I look good in it and everything when he mm-hmm. sold it to me, mm-hmm. but I don't have an engine to run it. The engine's got a few little things wrong with it, so, you know, you can't get it. That dude's a used car salesman, man. I don't know, man. I hope the Pelicans have a good season. Like I said, I got to see Gus first. Who's going to be in that starting lineup? Because we still have our eyes closed on that. I'm not going to take too much into the preseason because I do like the additions of the rookies if he lets them play. You know, that's the thing, Gus. How many years we've been with this guy so far, and he doesn't really want rookies on the floor. These two rookies deserve to be on the floor, and I want to see them on the floor. I want to hear what you got to say about that.
I'm with you. I think it, not only because of what they can do eventually on the offensive end, but it's kind of what I think you're probably thinking about too, Cajun Goat, defensively. I'm with Ollie here. Until Zion comes back, is in shape, and can play, and can do all this stuff, and you figure out how to play offensively with one another. And I've always thought this, even regardless, with a healthy Zion, I thought one way that the Pels can maybe grab 10 wins this year would be off of their defense. Down 6 or 7, you know, 3 or 4, inside 2.5, a stop here or there, it leads to a transition bucket, maybe a steal, whatever, right? I mean, like, I think that's ways that you can steal. You're just not going to outshoot some teams that I know of just yet. Now, Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Trey Murphy may literally not miss three-pointers, you know, just absolutely a barrage. We've seen some instances in some games. They're capable of doing that. I do believe the Pelicans do have better shooting, more shooting. I do think that. Now, can they do it consistently? Can they do it against top NBA talent? We'll see. But I do think defensively is where they can sort of go. And those young guys, those two rookies that you're talking about in particular, I think they can play defense. So, look, I'm with you. I think they're going to see whether they open up starters or not. You're going to see them early in that first quarter. You know, you're going to see them on the court. They're going to get a lot of minutes. I think Trey Murphy is essentially going to get darn near close to starter minutes. I really do.
Yeah, and I mean, Jones, too. I mean, there was a lot of riff about Jones maybe not even, you know, might not get a lot of minutes or not play. This guy has to have minutes. If you're going to put Josh Hart on the court, you have to put Jones on the court. Because mm-hmm. I think it's a wash. Because neither one of them are great shooters, but Jones, I think, is a better defender. But, I mean, you could swap them out on the floor because they're both good defenders and they both hustle guys.
Right.
And Jones can guard better than Josh because he's bigger. I mean, he's been guarding from 1 to 5, Gus, and the guy just looks crazy outstanding. And when he played the 5 the other night against the Jazz, which the Jazz had their starting people in, he did a tremendous job of keeping people out of the lane.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's on the Pelicans. Now, as far as the Tom Brady, the best, I guess I'm going to say yeah for this fact, Gus.
Okay.
He's already won one Super Bowl.
Right.
And I really believe he's going to win another Super Bowl while he's there. So that will be 2 Super Bowls to a franchise.
Yeah,
and the whole reason of having a guy coming in is to win Super Bowls. 100%. Drew's only won us one Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talent-wise, and with this guy, I know he's got a lot of talent on that team and everything else, but that team's always had that talent. He's brought in a couple guys who are kind of like flaky. But, I mean, if he brings another Super Bowl there, yes, he's got to be one of the best free agent signings ever. I can understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, and look, to your point.
You can't leave Drew Brees out either, though.
And to your point, Antonio Brown doesn't go there if he's not there. Right?
Right.
Gronkowski doesn't go there if he's not there. Fournette doesn't go there if he's not there. I absolutely think, yeah, I mean, they didn't just bring in some players. They brought in guys that literally helped them win the Super Bowl last year and have them up to a 5-1 start this year. I mean, you know, Antonio Brown came here. Saints looked at him. Drew Brees would have loved to have had him. He showed up and made a music video. I just, you know, Tom Brady somehow got to Antonio Brown and said, put aside the foolishness and you can add another chapter to your career. And right now, I mean, argue with me that he's not top 3 best receivers in football, if not the best right now. you know?
Right, until he plays the Saints this year. But anyway, because right. I think the Saints are going to beat them twice this year, okay?
Oh, you're going
but
twice,
anyway,
huh? All right.
Oh, I think they beat them twice. I'm going to tell you why. When Onyemata comes back, he pushes the pocket, and I think the Saints got this was the start of the season. We didn't think our cornerbacks were worth the crap, but I think the Saints have some of the best cornerbacks in the league, if not top two in the league on their cornerbacks and their coverage. Mm-hmm. But my thing with Tom Brady is let's not act like Tampa Bay was ever anything. Tampa Bay was a worse franchise than the Saints at one time, if you remember right. correctly. We used to fight each other for who's the worst team in the league at one time, if you remember. They were a horrible franchise, and to be what they are now with him there, yeah, I can see the argument for it. And if they win another Super Bowl, I could say yes, for sure. And I think they will eventually.
Makes sense. Thank you so much, Cajun Goat. Enjoy the
all right, buddy. You have
solid,
a great weekend.
Yep, and enjoy the awesome air that's coming here this weekend, man. A little cool front. Thank you, bud. There he goes. Cajun Goat. Quick break. We come back. Rafael Esparza. Bottom of the hour, Marlon Favorite. He'll talk Tigers and Gators. Coming up, hour number three, John Forte will join us in studio. We'll talk about the NFL and the Saints, his thoughts through first five games. It's a sports hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Is it you? Is it you?
It's a big win for Slidell, a big win for the whole North Shore, and it's called Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. This $325 million project will have a positive impact on our community. It's a fact. In cities with resorts like this one, jobs go up, home values rise, and the economy booms. And think about this. All the money that goes to Mississippi casinos now will stay right here and turn into millions for us. Winner! Millions to fix flooding. Millions to build a new sports complex for East St. Tammany. And millions for our roads, our schools, our safety. See what we've got planned for Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. Get more details and find answers to all your questions at thenorthshorewinds.com. Vote yes, and the North Shore wins. Vote yes, and we all win. Paid for by the North Shore Winds.
Craig LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com.
GregLeBlancToyota.com.
We are home of strong.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Now let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime into the conversation, that's the phone line at ESPN Radio NOLA to answer our questions of the day. Tiger fans, how do you feel about the upcoming game tomorrow? LSU in Florida will ask Rafael Esparza, Mr. Vegas, as we like to call him, at VSI Doc Sports, the way to follow him on Twitter, YouTube show. Top of this hour coming up here at 2 o'clock. Sir, how are you?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
I just looked at the I'm doing well. Thank you. I looked at the USA Today article that Garland Gillen from Fox 8 was bringing up in the second segment of today's show. Are you like, I didn't think about it, I guess, and I maybe didn't or not. I don't know. I think LSU fans are probably going, I'm sorry, when you see that it's Nick Saban and Ed Orgeron, second highest paid coach in college football. Is that surprising to you?
It actually does. I mean, I guess I really never paid attention.
Right.
They got snuck in there. If you told me the top five college coaches, I'd be like Nick Saban, Nick Saban, Nick Saban, Nick Saban, and
Nick
Jimbo, or maybe the guy from Clemson, or but yeah, but Ed Orgeron, I think that's why. I mean, if you go to LSU, there's a big GoFundMe page to pay for his buyout after the season.
Yeah, it's just I was not expecting that. When you take a look at obviously other coaches too, Luke Fickell, I noticed that he has a $20 million buyout. Orgeron 17. Fickell, he only makes 3. Cincinnati's head coach, but my understanding of that is the buyout's there for a reason, right? Like somebody's got to pay that.
Yeah, I think Fickell stays. I think they're going to be in a good situation when they finally do all the realignment. I think Cincinnati is going to be in a good position. I would not be shocked if he stays. Now, other coachings, I think, could be wide open. I think Campbell could be wide open. The head coach of Coastal Carolina, I think he's going to be a hot commodity. I think USC's job, I would not be shocked if it's Eric Bieniemy from Kansas City. I think he goes to USC as his first head coaching would be the other pro sports football team in California is the USC Trojans.
When you look at some of those coaches too, like I said, it's interesting when you look at the buyouts and what they make. You brought up Coastal Carolina. It's definitely a coach that in Jamie Chadwell, $871,000 is what he makes. The buyouts $2 million. So you know you always try to strike when the fire is hot, man. Perhaps and either get a raise or somewhere else. We'll take a look at it, though. All right, so let's do LSU Florida, though. Gators, 11.5-point favorite. What do you see tomorrow?
If you want to take LSU, and I don't understand why, because every time I refresh my screen, they're losing another defensive guy for this game, then wait, because I would not be shocked if this one goes up to 12.5, maybe even 13, because this opened up at 10, and there's 12s everywhere. If you like LSU, wait. If you like Florida, hurry up and jump on them. I think Florida wins. I think LSU shows some gut and some heart. I think they cover, show some respect at home, but I think they still lose the game.
That's what I'm saying. I think tomorrow that's how I'm looking at that game. If they roll over or it looks like it's a non-competitive game, that's an indictment. If they come out and play hard, then, you know, you at least kind of know that the locker room hasn't been completely lost. Auburn at Arkansas. Arkansas, 4.5-point favorite here. How do you see this one at Razorback Stadium?
I like the Hogs at Razorback Stadium. I mean, their quarterback is getting healthier. I wish he was 100% healthy when he got shellacked 37-0 against Georgia, but that's a different story. But I think Arkansas has to plead to play here. I think they're going to control the offense of the scrimmage, and I think they'll be able to run the ball. So I like the Hogs.
What about this other game that's coming up that I find interesting, UCF and Cincinnati, not about win-loss, even though UCF's 3-2, Cincy 5-0, obviously ranked third. 21.5. I feel like I think they can win by more.
They can. I mean, UCF is missing some really, really key pieces on their offense. But they know each other pretty well, and I think their defense at UCF, I would keep this game close. I have Cincinnati winning, but I'll take the 22 right now, which is going to be popping up. Here's an afternoon game. Would not be shocked if it's 22.5. I guess Cincinnati winning by double digits, but that's a very, very big number.
Steve Sarkisian was in Hammond last night looking at Arch Manning play his Longhorns. An 11 a.m. kickoff tomorrow hosting Oklahoma State. Cowboys are 12th ranked in the country. His Longhorns are 25th. I guess this is an interesting bounce back, right? You definitely want to bounce back at home after last week.
Yeah, I mean, if I go to watch Archie Manning, does that mean I'm trying to recruit him for my Doc Sports or my bookie? I mean, maybe he was just there to watch a football game.
But, no, he wasn't.
I like the Longhorns to bounce back, and I think they give Oak State their first loss. So give me Texas on this one.
All right, the Bulldogs of Georgia favored 21.5 over Kentucky. Not enough points or too many points?
This game reminds me of the game in Arkansas was there when everyone's like, oh, Arkansas is going to be able to control get some points on the board. And they got crushed 37-0. I think Georgia will allow 7 points in this game, but I think they cover.
I know you're going to be up early Sunday morning, 8:30, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. The Jaguars, 0-5, hosting the 1-4 Dolphins. Miami, a 3-point favorite. Tua, baby, getting the start. He's back.
I'm just grateful that Watford's playing Liverpool, Man U's playing Manchester City, because I watch other football in England than I watch Jacksonville and Miami. But Urban Meyer gets his first W outside of the United States. Jacksonville gets their first W.
Oh, okay. Packers and Bears, Chicago fans already pacing, right? I mean, this is why you wanted Justin Field. Packers, 6-point favorite on the road.
Green Bay is 17-5 against the spread in Chicago. I don't care if it's in Soldier Field, Arlington Park, where they're probably going to end up. 17-5, you can't mess that trend up. Green Bay wins by a touchdown.
I think this is a game. Bengals at the Lions. I know Detroit 2-5. Cincy, 3.5-point favorite. At some point, Dan Campbell's going to get this team to get a win. I think this is a dangerous game for Cincy.
I do believe that. I think Detroit gets a win because I really don't want to see him cry at the podium again. Just give the guy a W.
Texans at the Colts. Indy a 10-point favorite.
Houston, you know, they remind me of the Dolphins last year. Even though they have had some bad losses, but they're competitive. They still play for their coaches and the guy next to them. I think Houston will hang around. Give me that the Texans. What's the point?
All right. Rams at the Giants. L.A., 9.5-point favorite.
I got a phone call to see if I could do some kind of offense for the New York Giants as they just lost to everybody, but the Rams win.
So by more than 9.5?
Probably by two touchdowns.
Okay. Chiefs in Washington. KC, 7-point favorite on the road.
I don't know why they're 7-point favorites. Their defense is stinky, but Washington, Hinkie has just thrown so many undecisive passes that it gets picked off. I think KC bounces back. I think they get a big road victory, and they actually cover this game. I have them winning by a touchdown.
Vikings at the Panthers. Minnesota, 2.5-point favorite on the road.
I'm going to keep on riding Carolina, even though they keep on losing me some money.
This is a great one. Noon, CBS, Chargers, Ravens, both teams 4-1, Baltimore, 2.5-point favorite.
I know, this is a fantastic matchup. I'm just going to sit back and watch. I think we will see a lot of points. I think the over 51 is a little bit too low. This one total opened up at 48, mm-hmm. already moved 3 points. I still think it goes over.
Yeah, over under 51. Cardinals and Browns, Cleveland, 3.5-point favorite at home. Nick Chubb now not playing.
I know, I have Cleveland. I bet this early, and now I'm kicking myself because they're just devastated with injuries. I say either if you like Cleveland, pass. If you like Arizona, hurry up and jump on it because this number will move.
Yeah, I think the Cards get this. Raiders and Broncos, a lot of attention, obviously, with the Gruden situation will be out on this. If you're Teddy Two Gloves, it's time to show fuel for real or a hot start was not. Denver, 4-point favorite.
Yeah, I mean, does Teddy Two Gloves get the big W here, or does Raiders win one for the Gipper? Because a lot of them are still saying that that's their coach, even though what he said 10 years ago. I don't know what to look at this game. I'm going to say Denver wins, but I think Denver only wins by a field goal.
All right, take a look now at the Cowboys and Patriots. Dallas on the road, 4-1, 2-3. New England, Dallas a 3-point favorite.
I was hoping weather would be involved in this game so I could take New England plus the 3.5. But I think it's going to be an under game. I think New England's going to try to keep Dallas offense off the field. I say under 51.
That's a lot of points. 15.5 right now is what I'm seeing. Seahawks and Steelers in Pittsburgh. They're a 5-point favorite. I guess there's no belief in Geno Smith can win on the road. That's the Sunday night game, by the way.
What is Carver into watching right now? Because do I really want to watch Geno Smith versus Old Man Yeller, Big Ben? Because I think I'm going to go over and watch the TV with Carver.
No.
I do not want to see this.
Oh, my goodness. All right, sir. Any fisticuffs to pay attention to this weekend?
No. I mean, there's some UFC, but I'm still hung over from the heavyweight fights. I wish there's a good fight tonight on boxing and ESPN, Navarrete and Gonzalez for a featherweight fight. It should be very entertaining if you want to watch that tonight on ESPN Plus. But, I mean, there's some UFC, but, man, I'm still jonesing for the heavyweight fight. I think I'll watch that again this weekend.
All right, the ALCS and NLCSs are all set. What do you like here? What is the money coming in when it comes to both of these teams here? You got the Red Sox at Houston tonight, and tomorrow it's the Braves hosting the Dodgers. Who's going to the World Series per the money?
I think it's going to be bad viewership for the World Series. It's going to be the Houston Astros versus the Atlanta Braves, and I'm going to take the Atlanta. I'm going to say the Atlanta Braves. Let's give them a World Series. I'm going to say the Atlanta Braves win a
really?
World Series.
Really? I'd like to, so I can text Graffinini and give him heck. But dude, last night's game is kind of the thing that I was bring up. Everyone in that lineup is capable of getting a hit. Everyone in that lineup is capable of hitting a home run, and it doesn't matter if they literally don't hit for the first 7 or 8 innings. You still, especially if they're pitching and you're only up one or down one or tied, going through that lineup's just, I think it's a difficult task. I don't see how you beat them 4 times.
You're right. I mean, the reason why I'm saying that, because the books would definitely don't want the Dodgers to win the World Series. And I would like to see them lose. But I have a feeling it's probably going to be Houston and the Dodgers. And I think if as long as the Dodgers have their pitching and their bullpen is not all right and it can get those key hits like we saw last night, they'll probably repeat.
At VSI Doc Sports, the way to follow him over on Twitter, you can check him out on YouTube. His little TV show Monday, Fridays, maybe Wednesdays, and occasionally a Sunday. I just made that up, by the way. But there is one today coming up at 2 o'clock. Thank you, Rafael.
Take it easy. Have a great weekend.
All right, buddy. Bye. Coming back, Marlon Favorites, Big Fave on ESPN New Orleans.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Everyone loves shopping online. Well, I'm going to tell you what I tell my golf buddies when they buy clubs. Stop searching for coupon codes. Download Capital One Shopping to your computer. Capital One Shopping instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. Plus, it's free, and you don't even need a Capital One card to use it. That's like hitting a hole-in-one without even trying. Capital One Shopping. It's kind of genius. What's in your wallet?
Savings and available coupons vary.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor.
Half man, half motorcycle.
To find your balance, keep riding. And if you stop, put your feet down.
So you don't fall.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents Roadside Assistance. Progressive Motorcycle for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Citizen.
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengat.
Put him in a good mood, huh? Let's put him in a good mood here. Big Fave.
Oh, yeah.
504. Going to follow him on Twitter. Inside the Trenches, the podcast. So you know how this song goes, don't you? I like it. Made it in the trenches. What's up, sir? How are you today, buddy?
Oh, man, feeling good, bro. Feeling good. Friday football, right? So, days like this, get to check my son out. Beautiful Hornville, Louisiana. You know, the Cavs take on Hornville tonight. So, I'm super excited about that. And then got a bright and early morning tomorrow at 9 a.m. broadcast.
Ooh.
Game that they're playing tomorrow in Baton Rouge. LSU's playing this team. I can't quite put my finger on the name of this team, but yeah.
Yeah, you know exactly who they are, sir. You've had some history with them, no doubt about it. But you know what? Garland Gillen said LaSalle could be a team that could be contending for the state championship, man. He was high on the Cavs.
Oh, no doubt. And I appreciate him for that. They're a team that has really had a developing offense led by Cole Milford. By the way, he's taking on his brother tonight. His brother plays for Hornville. So it's the battle of the house divided, right? So offensively, and then DeLaSalle's defense is just playing exceptionally well. Guys on both sides of the ball doing their thing. So the kids I'm excited to see them continue to grow. This is Coach Graham's first year back at his old alma mater, DeLaSalle, and getting the Cavs rolling. You know, Ida kind of came and affected all of us, but, you know, since he got the team back, they've been working hard and been on the road, Gus. Really been Lake Charles Prep, and you know, we played out in Scotlandville, and you know, they were able to win those games on the road, and then, you know, capping up first home game back against Landry, mm-hmm. old buddy Keenan Lewis, great Saint, took on De La Salle, and they balled out again. So I'm excited for the direction that team is taking.
All right, sir, you brought it up and you mentioned it. 11 a.m. tomorrow, 11.5 points. So you're elevating Tigers. Ask the question like this to fans. What is it that you need to see on Saturday? Obviously, you want to win. I get it. But I think, Marlon, correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is a state of the locker room game. I think if the competitive nature, or if we're sitting there going, wow, this is ugly, and the effort or focus isn't there, you could maybe question the locker room is no longer with its coaching staff. If you see a team that does put out that fight and energy, then you could make the case, okay, let's continue and see where the season ends, and then we'll make that decision. Do you agree with me on that? Like, or can how this team looks tomorrow kind of tell you where they are inside the locker room?
It does, Justin. It is a let's tell the tale of the locker room, and that's one thing that can't be hidden is the vibe on the field. If you see an LSU defense that go out there, and I know you asked me what I want to see in terms of improvement, I really want to see the defensive line play with better technique and make plays in their gaps, because the leading rusher on this team is the quarterback, Emory Jones, and he's no joke. He's almost at 500 yards rushing, two rushing touchdowns, and, you know, legit has thrown over 1,000 yards worth of touchdowns at nine. So, I mean, they're a team, again, that could score at any moment, having an electrifying quarterback. You know, with that being said, you get an LSU team come out there, and that defense is just everybody's around the ball. You know, the ball goes through the air. You know, you have DBs flying through the air, no mm-hmm. fly zone. And if they're able to play up front, win in their gap, not get double teamed, not get comboed up to the next level, it could be a fight down the Tiger. And that's what we're looking for, right, Gus? We're looking for a fight. So if you're going to see a team that go out there flat, and I know I bring this up a lot on your show, you see a team that goes out there flat like those New Orleans Voodoo teams I was on towards the end,
right.
You can tell we were out there, and P.O. was my dog, but you can tell that we just lost the locker room. And of course, it shows on the field. It's just like no enthusiasm, just playing out there, just I can't wait till the season over. So that'll tell everything. And I do believe the leadership on this team, you look at guys like Simone Clark and Neil Farrell on the defensive side of the ball, and, you know, offensively, Ed Ingram and Austin Deculus. Those guys know that, you know, we had some injuries. We've lost some guys along the way, but no doubt we're going to fight at home.
I think the thing that really stands out too, Marlon, to your point, is you just take a look at last year. Last year didn't go the way you wanted it to. You had injuries. You had players opting out. You had really didn't know what you were doing with quarterback after your starter got hurt. Yet, to what you're saying, at the end of the year, you saw a team, once the locker room got cleansed or cleaned out or however you want to look at it, a team that absolutely fought. Like, you saw it, right? Like, they were competitive. You saw effort and energy, and you got excited about it. That's what I'm referring to. That's what I want to see tomorrow.
That's what I want to see, Gus. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. You're not even ranked. The only reason we're mentioned in the ESPN top 25 for the first time in a very long time is because Florida's in the top 25, right? So it's not like we're trying to compete to play in a BCS game or anything. But what we can compete for, young talent on that team, showing that we're ready to finish this year out in the best way we can. We understand the gauntlet we're about to go through, but we're going to fight through that gauntlet. Because, Gus, at the very end of the day, it's their 11 versus our 11. Point blank, period. Coaching is involved, so you do have the coach that have to put that 11 in the best position to be successful. But what I'm saying right now is just playing sound football. If you're a defensive back, let's say a cornerback, and it's cover one, you have that third, right? If you're a defensive lineman and it's second and one, and you see those offensive linemen just putting all their weight on their fingers, and you know that they're about to come off the ball and fire off on you. Are you going to win in that gap? Those are the things that I'm looking for on tomorrow. Just guys, win, lose, or draw, Gus. That's where I'm at with it. Because last week, we lose to Kentucky, let's say 40-35. We're not as upset on overreaction Monday, right? Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Right. No, no doubt. And I think one of the things that I think is interesting, too, is for some of those players to understand, okay, some are going to have opportunities to leave next year. Some are going to have opportunities to transfer. Not everybody can do it. You're not going to redo the whole roster. I think it's important to kind of, you know, play with pride, if that makes any sense, Marlon. I mean that in this aspect of it. Garland Gillen brought this up. He said that he knows people that can't get tickets. His parents couldn't give away his tickets. They're in the end zone. My wife works for a 75-employee law firm downtown. One of the partners, season ticket holders, very nice seats. Nobody wants them. So I'm not saying that's a lot, but that's what he's saying is tomorrow you're probably not going to see a full Tiger Stadium. And all of these things kind of matter, right? Don't you think? Because you're still recruiting, Marlon. You still have six games left, and there's still some guys deciding, am I going there or not, you know?
You need that crowd, and that's, you know, discouraging to hear that the crowd may look like that, but that's how a crowd looks when you're losing. So it's not that it isn't expected. But that 12th man is real, especially in Tiger Stadium. It is, particularly in what you just said, recruiting. You have a top recruit coming in town this weekend, want to check out LSU in Florida, and let's say for instance that recruit top two teams is LSU in Florida. Well, if LSU's fighting, and let's say, for instance, get the win, and I remember that being a big flip on the recruiting trip for a lot of recruits back when Coach Ed Orgeron took over his first year in 2017, and we played against Auburn for our national championship reunion game. And LSU won that game, and a lot of recruits there. It was important for them to do that because, again, you're showing these kids what they're going to be experiencing next year. If you sign here at LSU, I can't tell you how lit.
Right.
I do mean L-I-T, all kind of flame emojis behind. Watch out there now. It was when I took unofficial visits to LSU during the season. I remember one of the more memorable ones, LSU was taking on Georgia. It was me and a couple of my buddies. We went out there on a Saturday, and my good buddy, a business partner, Skylar Green, catches the big touchdown pass to play shake. As a 17-year-old recruit who has LSU high on his list, that put LSU on a higher notch. Plus, as a West Bank dude balling, it's a cat from where I'm from.
Right, good point.
That works in recruiting, Gus, to your point. It really does.
And that's what I mean. I think it's important to, you know, even if you don't care for this person or that, I've always was told this by a couple of professionals back early in this career. Not everything is going to be great and in one way, shape, or form with a coworker, your employer, or anything of that nature. But if you get behind the mic, you never know who's listening. And, you know, so you have to bring it every single day because it's the same thing, Marlon. Even if you don't like it there at LSU anymore, and even if you don't like the coaching staff or you want to transfer, their coaches are going to look at this film. They're going to see how you played. When everything looks terrible, when nothing is going right, are you still doing your job? Are you still excelling? Are you still leading? Are you still playing hard? You know, I think that sort of matters. That's why, again, it'll be telling tomorrow what kind of football team takes to the field in Tiger Stadium.
It will. It will. You have two SEC teams, Florida 4-2. They're 2-2 in the SEC, and right now we're 1-2 in the SEC, 3-3. So essentially you have both teams have two SEC losses. So you're right, Gus, from an NIL standpoint, from a portal standpoint, from a professional standpoint, all of these things are in place. You're not going to be a hot NIL product with different clients or sponsors.
That's a very good point.
If you're not making any big plays,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
On the flip end, if you do want to get in the portal, will you even compete with competition at the other school? That's something to think about. And last but certainly not least, professionally. I can remember being at the Combine. They knew I rap. They knew I dropped albums. They knew what type of locker room guy I was. They knew everything. They knew what type of guy I was when I played under Coach Saban, and I didn't even play. I was redshirted. But again, it's what you, and most importantly, I never forget my scouting report. Short guy, head very stout, but has a motor that doesn't stop. That's because on tape, every play that you see me, I'm around the ball and running now, even if I'm not making a play. And that's the type of effort I want to see out of those guys tomorrow. Don't fall into this, what we're talking about, trap. What I mean by me is the outside chatter, the people that's in the media and all that stuff. You hear that, right? But when you go on the field, all that means nothing. Gus, you and I are most definitely not about to take no snaps to LSU, Tulane, UL, or nobody else, right? You know, and that's the reality from a player standpoint. Like, we heard all of that stuff, but we didn't pay attention to that. We knew we had to be dogs in those trenches. That's why I made Gorilla. Gorilla really, it depicts and it shows the hunger of what it means to make it in the trenches. That's all that song's about. Like, I don't do what I did at LSU or even on a professional level to a certain extent. I probably can't have this job with you right now. I can't do this, right? So that's what these guys right now have to put on tomorrow. They have to realize that. That's for anybody listening, even for the high school athletes. Like, what you put on tape, my coach always told me, I hear what you're saying, Marlon, but that eye in the sky. Watch out there now. Hello, somebody. The eye in the sky don't lie.
You know what? Listening to you and Eric Alexander this week, too, it still matters for those players that put on the purple and gold, that went through the tunnel, you know, hit the goal post in the locker room, all that other stuff. And it's just, you've had too many shows, Marlon, last year, this year, too many where I'm speaking to former LSU players and they're just wanting to see kind of the way that they played the game and what it meant for them to play as an LSU Tiger. I think that's the part that really stinks about that. It really does seem like it's just a disconnect, of the program, to be honest with you, with its fan base and with its tradition. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm being harsh with that. It just doesn't seem like it, you know?
When you're winning, everything good.
There you go.
That is LSU, just start winning, baby. We start talking about the good stuff about the wins instead of, man, what's going on?
There it is. All right, Marlon, I got your song playing in the background, sir. Have a good weekend. Good luck tonight for the De La Salle Cavaliers there and pick up a win.
Let's get it.
There he goes. That Big Faith on the Force. Way to follow him on Twitter. Inside the Trenches, the podcast. Open phone lines next on ESPN New Orleans.
West side of town, it was hard to make moves. Hustle from 5:30 morning to late noon. Business by day. At night, you turn cool.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start. And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back, and we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Coco's Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland is open and ready to please you. They have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mouth-watering Mexican food daily with delicious specialty dishes like coconut shrimp tacos, Baja fish tacos. Plus try the trio burritos or a carne asada. Coco's Mexican has happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. Delivery service from waiters also available. They're located on Highway 1 in Raceland next to the post office. Coco's.
At Thibodaux Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrades 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodaux Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodaux.com.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Oh, boy. You know what? One of the best things about the Saints being 3-2 and really the type of games or seasons they've sort of had, you really haven't had any, I wouldn't even say controversy. I mean, like, really since this offseason to now, it's just the worst has been, what do you mean Michael Thomas is getting surgery? Right? I mean, that's been it. Am I missing something? Am I forgetting something? Sure, you've had the suspension of Onyemata, but I'm talking about you don't have what's happening around, I guess, like Cleveland. And I just saw this pop up in the ESPN audio vault, and I wanted to play it, and I'm interested to hear because I haven't heard it yet. But, I said this earlier this week, there is a very big discussion going on, I guess, nationally on Baker Mayfield from the national radio shows like Colin Cowherd and stuff, or Dan Patrick, to, you know, Feinbaum to whatever, just even in college, of who was the better quarterback, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, because those two teams play each other this week. And is it worth the contract? There's a lot of talk about Lamar Jackson. Should he be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL all week on NFL Get Up or on their afternoon NFL show? It's been about who is the better quarterback in the NFL. There's different styles and types right now. I'll get to that in a quick second, but this is Stephen A., because when you look at the Browns right now, it's Baker Mayfield. Do you trust him? Do you not? Are you willing to give him franchise quarterback money? And what do you make of the whole Odell Beckham Jr. situation? You can't say anything other than it hasn't gone the way people maybe thought it was going to be when he went to Cleveland. But I found this interesting. The headline is Baker Mayfield sabotaging Odell Beckham Jr.'s career?
We know they got a big-time running game with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. We know when Jarvis Landry was there with Odell Beckham Jr., with Njoku and those boys, there were a lot of options to go to. But with Jarvis Landry having been out, with Odell Beckham Jr. back, healthy and ready to roll, and you're not finding him. And in a game where you score 42 points, you target this man three times. Excuse me, something is very, very fishy about that.
All right, so Screamin' A is going to conspiracy theory. Dan Graziano.
Yeah, he wants to win. I mean, and he never really has. He's been on two teams in his entire career that had winning records. One was last year, and he was hurt by the time they really got going. So he wants to be a part of a winning team. And what I hear in that news conference is a guy who's with the program. Yeah, I'm going to answer your question honestly. Of course I'd rather catch the ball more. Who wouldn't?
All right. Dan Graziano a little further on, are we going to eventually see Odell Beckham Jr. on another team next year?
This is not because does he get along with Baker Mayfield or does he want the ball too much. This is just me looking strictly at the contract. 2 years left after this year, $15 million a year, none of it guaranteed. It's a situation where they'll likely want to adjust that, and if he doesn't want to, they could move on. But that's way down the road.
All right. So, again, it's a good thing that at least you don't have that with the Saints. And doing all those things, right? One of the other aspects of it, I'm surprised that the intern did not bring this up. Again, these are all different types of conversations I've had this week and including this morning, and a lot of it had to do with quarterbacks. And I bring this up because I saw a lot of different tweets of, you know, NFL.com or morning shows on the NFL Network, everything. And everyone's bringing up really good seasons by a lot of different quarterbacks. And a lot of the topic is, has the league caught up to Patrick Mahomes? That's right. Dan Graziano this morning. He's making Jordan the intern excited. Has they caught up to Pat Mahomes? And I think one of the things that's interesting is I don't know. And I'm not saying that it should or not. I'm asking, should Jameis Winston's start be remotely a topic on anybody's lips this year? Or are you saying, look, the Saints have kind of won despite it and the numbers are, I would say, fuzzy numbers? Or is it legit? I mean, or, hey, are the numbers the numbers? 12 TDs, 3 picks, which is among the best in the league. 3 wins should be 4. Or Are you not saying, or are you saying, hey, look, let's look at the other quarterbacks that are playing, and he's not playing, like Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert? What you think?
I think there's a playbook on how to do it right now with Mahomes and the Chiefs. I don't think that means they've caught up to Mahomes. I think it means it's incumbent on Mahomes and Andy Reid now to adjust back and figure out how to beat, you know, what they've come up with. They haven't come up with a reliable number two wide receiver. I mean, I know they have Kelsey, but a wide receiver, right? Mecole Hardman has not developed the way they hope. They go out and sign Josh Gordon. Maybe he can help. But they need somebody to take that pressure off of Tyreek Hill. And as a result, I think Mahomes is starting to force some things and turn the ball over. I believe in his ability to turn it around and likely this season. But there's no question in my mind that teams have come up with a way to play this team that has started to be a little more effective than it used to be.
Bart Scott on that?
Mahomes came into a perfect situation. He came to a team that was ready to win now, so he doesn't know what adversity feels like, where, you know, Josh Allen has had the pain and agony of defeat. Lamar Jackson has. So this is commonplace for them. And, like, Lamar has been there, right? He's been scrutinized. He's been doubted. You know, this is new for Patrick Mahomes, and now he's going to have to learn how to evolve. And now the rest of the pack is catching up, and it's a little bit more difficult. And this team is starting to age a little bit, and their window is still open, but I think it's starting to close as other teams are getting younger, faster, and better.
So I think that's kind of interesting conversations just to see where some of these younger quarterbacks are as well. And the only reason I bring this up is, again, if you're going to have to make a decision at the end of the year, is Jameis Winston your guy? 2 years, 3 year contract, 4 or 5 year contract, right? And I just bring that up because, again, you're seeing certain teams go with younger quarterbacks, draft younger quarterbacks. How has it gone? Where they are? Baker now a couple years in the league. Lamar a couple years in the league. Patrick a couple years in the league. So where do you put all those guys? And do you sort of look at what you have, whether it's with Jameis Winston or not? Here's Keyshawn Johnson on, you know, Tua and Jalen Hurst. Which one would you have gone with? Who do you think is the better QB right now?
I mean, he is, in my opinion, he is above and beyond Tua, who took his spot at Alabama. He is in front of Tua. And that says something, right? The growth is there, and his ability to continue to keep growing, we'll see about that.
Now, at the same time, I mean, Jalen Hurst has played a few more games than Tua. Right? A few, I mean, Tua really hasn't played that much. Or I don't know. I guess you can say it's sort of even. I don't know. But again, these are just sort of things that are being bantered about there. And obviously we'll see what Fields taking on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers this week. It's something to think about. Younger quarterbacks, high draft pick quarterbacks, how are they developing? What style? I mean, you're looking at it right now, Justin Herbert, some of the bigger quarterbacks, and John Forkay is going to join us here in hour number 3 in studio. We'll talk about the state of quarterbacks in the league. You're seeing different styles work. You're seeing, in particular, a handful of quarterbacks. Seems like the AFC is sort of heavy on it as well. So we'll touch on all of that because, again, at the end of the year, the Saints are going to have to make a decision. Are you staying put with Jameis? Because he won the quarterback battle. So it's not like you're going to go next year and say, well, let's give Taysom Hill a try. It's either Jameis or you're moving on one way, shape, or form, right? Let's talk about that. We come back. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.